Welcome to the NJ Criminal Podcast. Meg welcomes Fred Amicucci. Fred is a member of the Professional Background Screening Association, American Staffing Association, as well as serving on the board of directors for the New Jersey Staffing Alliance. Fred has a BA in psychology and a BA in criminal justice from Moravian University.
Welcome back to New Jersey Criminal Podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Fred Amicucci, who is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Data Screening, which is a background check company. And I spoke with Fred the other day, and we thought we have kind of a lot of things in common. So, Fred, welcome.
Thank you, Meg. I really appreciate you having me on. I love how we kind of overlapped a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, we have things in common. One of the things that I was saying to you the other day that I wanted to talk about today was, you know, I'm a criminal defense attorney, and I practice primarily in New Jersey, in Superior Court and Municipal Court. And in just about every single case I handle, you know, one of the issues that my clients are concerned about, and one of the things that I always want to make sure I go over with them, is that, you know, if they are in charged with an indictable level crime, which is an equivalent to a felony. In New Jersey, we don't call them felonies, we call them indictable level crimes, and they are looking at a plea agreement that would result in a conviction, you know, that's going to be on their record.
Yeah.
It's going to be a criminal conviction on their record, and they all want to know, is this going to be on my record? And I have to be clear to tell them whether it is or it isn't. So that's one thing. The other thing that I deal with a lot is I handle expungements for individuals. And there are rules in New Jersey about certain crimes that after a particular passage of time can be expunged from their records, removed as if it never occurred. Typically that's because people, want to move on with their lives and gain employment where, you know, if they have a conviction, they're not going to be allowed to have a particular job. And so they come to me and hire me to attempt to get older convictions expunged. Now, sometimes they come to me and they're not quite sure what they have on their record. You know, the 80s and 90s sometimes for some people are a little foggy. And so I have had background checks run on clients. So that's kind of how, you know, my involvement with background checks. So tell me, you know, I guess you, and I'll let you tell me, but you represent, I guess, businesses that are potentially hiring people that want to have background checks run on them. So you're kind of on the other side of the equation. So tell me what it
Correct.
Is you do.
So you bring up a good point. On the surface, we're on the side of the business, although the Fair Credit Reporting Act, otherwise known as the FCRA, have very, very strict guidelines and procedures whenever a background check company is providing background checks for employment, and then they also have strict procedures for the company that we're giving access to run these background checks for pre-employment purposes. So, well, we've been in business for over 25 years. We started out actually even before that as a credit reporting agency and kind of parlayed into the background check business. And so, you know, we looked into it and it became very popular more after, I guess, 9/11. And that's when things really took off. So it's very interesting because
Let me ask you, why after 9/11 did it take off?
You know, I guess just because people were more concerned with, the background of people, you know, terrorism and stuff. And there's a number of different searches that you can run. There's a U.S. terrorist watch list, and there's also a global terrorist watch list. So any countries that actually maintain their own terrorist watch list, it's actually shared amongst other countries. So I think people just got scared. They want to check other people out, you know, before they hire them. Now you brought up a great point with, like the expungements and things. Now, the ban the box law, every state has their, different terminology, but I think, and I think this is good for society in general. They're making things a little bit easier for people with criminal records to get jobs. And I think that's a good thing, because when you think about it, someone has a criminal record and, you know, number one, if they can't get a job, they're going to go back to crime, basically. I mean, sure. they can't support, you know. So, and the other thing is, I think, you know, from what I've read, a lot of times when people commit crimes, of course, we're not talking, you know, the heinous crimes, things mm-hmm. like that, but, you know, they're either on drugs, alcohol, or something like that, or, you know, it's a kind of a one-time thing, if you may.
Right.
So, you know, you don't want to judge a person because they made a mistake they made, you know, 3-4 years ago.
Oh yeah, absolutely. A lot of my clients, you know, the crimes that they have committed were fueled by drug addiction. Yeah. Right.
Yep. So, you know, if we could get them help on that side, and then, you know, get them back in society and working, I think it's better for everybody. But then on the other side, as the companies that we basically represent, you also want to make sure the current employees are and other employees are well protected, not only employees, but also if you have clients or customers. So we're kind of right in the middle of protecting the individual as well as protecting the business.
Right. I have a question. You conduct background checks that obviously check for prior criminal convictions.
Right.
But you also do, you talked about a credit check, which is a, I would imagine, you know, related to their financial background. And I know, you know, I was a prosecutor for a really long time and I handled financial crimes. And even as a prosecutor, we were not able to run a credit report on someone. There were very, very strict laws related to our ability, even as law enforcement, to run a credit check on someone. And so, you know, that's kind of a whole separate category of a check. Now, I'm assuming, you know, the individuals, they apply for a job, they are notified, hey, you want this job, you're going to get a background check done, which is going to include criminal as well as financial. So mm-hmm. do you have, I guess, to have permission from the, you know, potential employee through the employer in order to be able to do these checks?
Yeah. I mean, just in general, some of the rights of the potential employees, that authorization has to be in writing, has to be obviously prior to, and each state has their own laws. And for example, New York, you know, you can't mention background checks or even do a background check until you actually make a formal offer of employment. In New Jersey, it cannot be on the first initial interview, has to be after that. But
who regulates
general,
that?
You know, it's funny, the FTC does, and the Department of Homeland Security, but, you know, that's all in the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which, you know, falls under the FTC. And
so they're federal regulations.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's really odd because, you know, a lot of times it's, I'll be honest, a lot of times it's applicant driven or employee driven. You know, they may see like, well, wait a minute, I'm supposed to sign something before I get it back. I didn't get anything to sign. And then they'll maybe speak to an attorney, employment attorney, because I don't think, unless, you know, a company is getting audited, there's no real way to actually know or understand if our companies are doing, you know, the proper things. But the thing is with the credit, you mentioned the credit, and just like you said, the focus on credit over the past, well, I guess ever since, you know, it was allowable to actually do a credit check, is very, very intense. So if a company wants to do a background check, we have to have them sign some paperwork, just kind of clarifying their understanding of their responsibilities. And then when credit comes involved, if they want to do a credit check for employment purposes, there's a whole another set of credentialing process that the credit bureaus require us. So like part of that would be a physical inspection of the place of employment. So someone has to actually go into that place of employment, and you have to, it's a pretty intense, I mean, it, you know, it's not so much entering, but in terms of looking around, does the building look like it's a residential commercial building? Does it signify the actual business name when you go in? Does it look like it's a temporary employment setting or is it permanent?
So you're saying, like, for example, if I want to hire somebody and I'm going to require a credit check of that potential employee, then there are regulations that I, as the employer, would have to abide by in order to be able to make that request?
Yes. Okay. So it's basically, you know, they just want to make sure you're a legitimate business and you're using credit checks as a legitimate purpose. So, mm-hmm. and then you have to, not to mention, you know, some of the paperwork, you have to have a directory listing for a phone number. You have to show you have an official bank account. So things like that are very important to make sure it is a legitimate business.
So I'm not just trying to steal someone's identity.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, you're not some guy in his basement trying to run credit checks on people and stealing mm-hmm. their information. And then on the other side of that, again, a lot of states have, you know, separate and different laws when it pertains to credit checks for employment purposes. Typically New York and California are the most strict, but you have to really show that the job that the person would be doing has a direct relationship with the reason why you're running the credit checks.
Right. And I guess, as somebody who in my younger days didn't have the greatest credit, I'm curious, what is there, like a cutoff, or what is it that that in your experience employers are looking for when they have a potential employee that they feel a credit check is something they're going to require?
Yeah, I would say anyone that's dealing with money, you know, even, you know, paper money or even financial statements, mm-hmm. banking a lot of times may do credit, although it's odd. Some banks don't do it. We'll say, no way, we're not even getting involved with that. Some banks, that's the first thing that they look at as part of their pre-employment process, and if that's mm-hmm. okay. So in terms of the credit check itself, that's another thing. There's no score on the credit check. A pre-employment credit check is different than, you know, say a lender's credit check.
Okay.
And I think that's very important.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah, and what the other thing is, the other piece to that is it directly relates to credit in this sense. If you're ever denying employment based upon something that came up on a person's background check, you have to go through the pre-adverse and adverse action process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to give the person a letter basically stating that we may or may not give you this job based upon your background check. If you would like to provide an explanation as to what happened, or if you feel there was an error in your background check report, you're given an opportunity basically to either contact the background check company or provide the employer with an explanation. So in terms of like credit, you know, maybe the applicant comes back to the employer and states, oh, well, you know, I'm going through a divorce. I had some medical bills. Things are a little rough. That may be a reasonable explanation.
That's why I need a job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm applying here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As opposed to someone saying, you know, I just lost track a little bit.
Right, exactly. Or maybe, hey, that's not me. You were focusing on the credit, but on the criminal background check. Wait a second.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't ever arrested.
That's the other thing. That happens, I wouldn't say commonly, but I would, going back to what you were saying earlier, we get a lot of times applicants like kind of forgot, like you mentioned, oh, I didn't know that was going to be on my record, mm-hmm. you know? So that happens as well.
They cross their fingers and hope it doesn't pop up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if they had the ability to challenge the results of the background check. Now, what states do you operate out of? Are you a national company?
We are a national company. We're actually international.
Okay.
So, you know, it's common. We do a lot of international checks. That's another thing too, because you know, you have to work with the countries and their rules, which are different from the U.S. So a lot of clients, we have to make sure they're aware of this before we do those, because maybe they're used to a background check coming back in, you know, 24, 48 hours, whereas, you know, we're going to another country and it may take, you know, a week, 2 weeks. And so they have different requirements and things like that.
And I would imagine that your cost to the employer varies depending upon the extent of the background check and where it's at and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And to do a, you know, a decent background check, we always recommend you do a, what's called a county criminal check going back to at least 7 years. 7 years is kind of the minimum of what most states or most companies do. Some states have regulations on how much further you can go back beyond there. But so if, you know, if a person has lived in a certain amount of counties, that will increase the price of the background check as well.
Normally, I see.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're just putting somebody's name in and hitting a button. You're doing more intensive research with regard to where they may have lived or names they may have used, et cetera.
Exactly. And I think most people's idea of a background check is almost like a Google check or one of those companies.
Truth Finder.
Exactly. So like, I mean, it's a little odd that you'd be able to do a background check on whoever you like. Although, you know, court records and criminal records are public information. So, you know, you can always go to the courthouse and if you want to check
someone
out.
But those database searches are expensive. I mean, I've used an investigator to conduct certain backgrounds. And, you know, they have access to these, you know, super secret databases, and they're not cheap subscriptions.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are a little bit more in depth and can be very expensive, actually.
Are all of your clients private? In other words, do you do any governmental work, or are they these, you know, private companies, so to speak?
We do governmental work as well.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, government contracts, they'll go out to bid. And yeah, we work with
you'll put
New York
the
City.
Bid in to do the background check.
Yeah, so we'll, you know, do a bid and you know, we get awarded the bid, and there's certain projects or certain departments, things like that. Yeah, it's quite common, actually.
Well, how long have you been doing what you do?
I've been here just about 7 years, and you know, I was inside sales before this job. So this is more of outside and inside, because a lot of times I'll visit local businesses, and we travel as well. We do a lot of conferences. So it was a little bit of an adjustment, you know, being face to face and then being in an unknown industry. But I was a quick learner, caught up quite quickly. And yeah, it's been really great. I love meeting people. So.
We hope you've enjoyed the NJ Criminal Podcast with Meg Horner. The best way to support the show is to subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast apps.
For more information about criminal defense in New Jersey, go to hornerlaw.com. That's HOERNER law.com.